This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Four Sigmatic. Join the Mushroom Coffee Revolution at foursigmatic.com/Spartan.
Welcome to Spartan Up Podcast. We're here in a condo in Los Angeles where we were for the Spartan Stadium race here. This next interview, every now and then there's one that you're taking notes and you're looking at it and it's like 2-3 pages of solid content. Yannick Silver, just point after point after idea after thought, every one of which is applicable.
Here for Spartan Up the Podcast in Pittsville, Vermont with my new best friend, Yannick Silver. How you doing?
What's up, show?
So you run a company called Maverick 1000.
Right.
And the idea is to get, well, you tell us, what is this Maverick 1000 thing?
It's a bunch of Mavericks. It's a bunch of Mavericks. Big idea is to light 1,000 suns who can light another 1,000 suns. And to me, a Maverick is someone that blazes their own trail. It's somebody that really lives their life in their own way. They're for entrepreneurial CEOs, entrepreneurial leaders, and world-class experts, and someone that has big leverage in their field or marketplace.
So it's somebody, they've got to be cool, right? They can't be
subjectively cool, yeah, right. Yeah, they can't be a jerk. We always say you can't just write a check to get in.
Because I've been trying for years.
I know.
You won't let me in.
Yeah, we keep rejecting you.
but they got to be cool. They can't be a jerk. And they've got to just be getting something done that's purposeful and good for the world.
Yeah, they care about big business ambitions. They care about making a difference in the world, typically through business or entrepreneurial brain power, and having some fun.
How many years has this been going on?
10.
10 years.
Yeah.
So you've come across some amazing characters.
Absolutely, yeah.
And learned a lot.
I've learned a ton, yeah.
So the audience is trying to figure out how to be better. How do they wake up in the morning, get motivated, get stuff done, find purpose? Tell us what you've learned throughout this decade.
Yeah, it's been interesting because, I started Maverick really to scratch my own itch a little bit, I think, like the way Death Race started. Sure. and everything else.
We're all in a death race.
Yeah,
right?
That is true. And that's actually one of the best ways to motivate yourself as well, is to think on, what might be very somber and kind of morbid, but it's really not. It's like, what do we want to do with our time on this planet?
Exactly.
And for some of us, we're okay letting that time slip away just inadvertently. And others, it's like, okay, what do I really want to do? But I believe in like this almost like a two-pronged approach where it's like, yes, I'm taking action towards what I want, but I'm also allowing what's happening, like a little bit more. So I'm a big fan of Michael Singer and his Surrender Experiment.
Explain that.
So it's allowing really the universe to guide you in this way where how many times have you've been like just butting your head up against something? You're like, I'm going to keep going because I'm stubborn like that. And while at the same time, just slightly over here, is something that...
There's a door.
Yeah, exactly. That could be a better, bigger way. And especially when things don't work out as planned, I always look around. I'm like, okay, so what is the message? Sometimes it's keep going. And you never...
You got to be really in tune, though, to receive that message.
You do. And you just got to... It's been interesting because... So one of the biggest things I learned about myself was that I never fully gave 100%. And that was a big, sort of shadow and piece that I was like, wow. Like all through like college, went out, got drunk, came into the early morning classes smelling a bourbon, borrowed a pencil, was like the first one out, last one in, first one out, and got like a B-. And it's not because I was like incredibly smart. I was just pretty good at cramming and I could, I sat in through most of the lectures and I could know what the teacher was talking about. So that carried through even in my business stuff where I did have a philosophy, which was, and I still do, which is I get rich by enriching others 10x to 100x in return. So I was providing a lot of value, but if I really looked into my heart, I wasn't putting my full heart and soul into something because then I had the excuse of if it didn't quite work, oh, I had that out. And so during this time of this 10 years of building up Maverick, when I went from a really successful sort of digital marketing business to scratching my own itch, thinking like, oh, I'm gonna bring in these cool entrepreneurs, we're gonna have these amazing adventures, have some sort of charity aspect. I sunk about $400,000 into it. And my wife's like, what the hell are you doing? And so it really forced me to think about my big why. And my big why wasn't creating an adventure travel company, it was creating this collective of entrepreneurs that could really change the world. Sure. And so during that time, I really had to decouple my personal identity from my business identity, had to decouple what I was doing, myself versus how well my company was doing. And it just forced me to just, you know, think about all those things. And so now that putting your full heart and soul into something. So I went back to studying like some of the longest spiritual texts that we have, you know, the from the furthest back, like the Bhagavad Gita. And there's this great book called The Great Work of Your Life. And it has all these amazing people like Harriet Tubman and Susan B. Anthony and Nelson Mandela, who, when they found their dharma or their truth and their path, that they really accelerated into that. And so that's part of like your mission and your purpose is finding that. And then one of the biggest lessons from that was not being attached to the fruit of your labor, that you can only put out your, you know, the only thing that you get to experience is your labor. And so that was the full heart and soul. And that was huge.
So recap that in a sentence or two. It's find your purpose, obviously.
Right. And that's, it's such a, I don't know, it's like we can walk around being like, what's my purpose? And it becomes like this thing that drives us in an incessant way that sometimes doesn't serve us. It's like, I like even simpler. It's like, okay, what do I get extreme joy out of? Like, where's my true joy and bliss? And joy doesn't have to be...
If you had all the money in the world, and what would you do today?
Yeah, or even my favorite question is, what would you do even if you knew it would fail? And so there's a different take on it. So a lot of people have heard, okay, you had 6 months to live. What would you do? If it couldn't fail, what would you do? And so this is, cribbing Brené Brown and Daring Greatly, like this idea of what would you do even if you knew it would fail? Because now I'm putting in full effort into something that...
It's not going to work.
Well, it may or may not, right? But we're not attached to the result anymore. And that's huge. And also, like, just following your enthusiasm and what you're excited by, because...
Well, you must be enthusiastic about it if you're going to do it anyway, even though you know it'll fail.
Yeah, exactly. You know that there's a bigger reason that of something that's driving you. And a lot of times we can't even, like, quite logically figure out, like, what the hell drives us. Sure. You know, I've had conversations about our mission, and you're like, I have to do this. And I feel that same way about how do we impact the world through business and make that impact. And I'm like, I don't know why. It's almost like I just feel like...
It's pulling you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, all right, so we found that. Next is you've got to work to your full potential, not drink bourbon, wait, walk in last and leave first, right?
Sometimes. I mean, you kind of, you experiment, right? Like, is that serving you in the best way? And so... I love these like little 33-day experiments, right? Like, so I'll be like, okay, I'm not drinking, or I'm not going to eat sugar. Yeah, so it's a very specific number. It's beyond the month, and it's just like, okay, I'll try meditation, or I'll do whatever. And it's like these experiments, and there's also an end date, so it could be 60 days, could be 30 days, whatever you want. Yeah. But just that notion of, okay, what happens in my life, and long enough that you can actually see some results, and then you can decide: do I want to keep it, or do I want to add that to to who I am? And I think sometimes we it's really tough when it's like, okay, we see a role model like you, and like, okay, I don't drink, work out like an animal every morning, have these incredible endurance feats, whatever it is, whoever your role model is, and you're like, well, I can't totally do that, or I can't be 100% like that person, but if you're working towards it, you're always
going to get it. Yeah, I like Bruce Lee, right? You take a little bit of this, you discard some of that, and I think what you're saying is figure out what works for you.
Totally, yeah. And I love the little, like, this potpourri kind of just buffet of style, whether it's spirituality, whether it's your workout, whether it's your health, all the pieces.
I'm excited that you committed to the 33 burpees a day for 33 days.
I almost committed to it.
So, and then the last one in what you said is focus on the journey, not necessarily the result.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, a lot of people say that, but I don't know if everybody understands that.
It's a tough one to truly get. And so I'm the kind of person that before really getting a lot of introspection that I'd be looking for my next challenge. I'd be looking for my next business idea that I'm excited by. I'm looking for the next...
Before it's even complete, the one you're on.
Before it's even complete, exactly. Right. It's like, I remember my wife went with me to New Zealand, and we had, her name's Missy, we had Yonic days and Missy days. Yonic days are like bungee jumping and doing aerobatic planes and all sorts of stuff. And then hers, like hanging out on the farm and some spa days and things like that. Sure. And
I like that. We're gonna have. I'm gonna do that.
Yeah. Well, so she didn't participate in the bungee jumping. But,
oh, got it.
But she.
But
watched.
Did you participate in the spiritual?
I did. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so I remember we're literally at this like 440-foot bungee jump, and she's in the cable car. That's like a big feat for her anyway, between this sure. And this gorge, and so she's watching me, and I literally, you know, do my jump, and as they're pulling me up, I'm like, isn't there a bigger jump somewhere, like Switzerland or South Africa? Like, literally, I'm telling the guys, sure. like, not even being present in the moment whatsoever.
Sure.
And so that's been part of my journey, is being more present, being, you know, more mindful. And
it's a big challenge for me. I'm going through this battle with a buddy of mine who I'm trying to get healthy, and he's trying to get me to slow down a bit. And my response is... you know, the cliche, stop and smell the roses, I think is what you're saying. And my answer is, yeah, well, who's, like, fertilizing the roses, trimming the roses, like, watering the roses? Because that's what I do every day. And I'm always playing for, like, 2 weeks from now.
Right.
Or 2 months from now. Because I just want to make sure I do all the things that lead to success, achieving that goal. And I think you're saying, well, what about right now, Joe?
Well, I mean, I've you know, for the last couple of years, taken on a meditation practice, and it's been huge, and that's really helped me.
I found you meditating yesterday morning.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's something that's like a, you know, exactly non-negotiable, and so that's, you know, as an experiment, and then so actually I learned it from Russell Simmons, who's like this, you know, totally out there ADHD yeah. hyper guy, but he learned, you know, how to use yoga and meditation. And I'm like, all right, if this guy, like, I learned it through his book, and then I had a chance to interview him for one of our Maverick events. And I'm like, if this guy can do it, I can at least try it.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's been huge. And now has that helped, you know, stop me from always being so forward thinking and visionary? No, definitely not. But I think it's almost like there's two sides to every advantage that we have, right? It's if it's gone too far, it becomes a disadvantage for us, but it's served us in a big way. Right. So if you're thinking out ahead, this is the game plan. So there's a lot of good in that. And then at the same time, you're like, okay, well, what's the part that might be restricting me in some way? It's maybe not being present in the moment right now. And even just finding tiny moments in time when you're like, you know, I'm just hanging out with my kid.
I do find tiny moments. And I think I learned how to savor that from all the races. That tiny yeah. moment of looking out and seeing the moon come up over the mountain, or looking at your kid that just said something, and it's like that was unbelievable.
Right.
Because I'm sorry, this is turning into a psychology session where you're working on me, but if I slowed down, I'm just thinking about a moment where I'm answering 70 emails in an hour, right?
Right.
And if I slow, then I wouldn't get that production done, right? Then it would slow everything down, which affects 2 weeks from now.
Right.
So it is that balance.
And I mean, the best people in the world at this enjoy that process, right? Like they enjoy the scrubbing the pots and right. planting the soil, and that's their meditative practice. And
yeah, good
and
point.
And you know, the email is. You can
I was meditating with you yesterday when we were biking. I mean, that was awesome, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you could. Yeah, I do enjoy the work, actually.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that people who have a little, I guess, more unusual businesses, endeavors, whatever it is, we have unique opportunity, like, you know, with your family. I mean, how many places have you moved into? What have you exposed them to? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot for that, for being untraditional.
So, to wrap up, give the viewers some, we covered those three. Anything. It could be crazy, whatever. Something to add to their life.
Something to add to your life. Actually, one of my favorite things is journaling. It's like a practice that I think that most people can really benefit from in a huge way. So journaling has been scientifically proven to make us happier. So it helps us take everything that's sort of swirling around in our heads, especially as entrepreneurs or type A people that are doing a lot of stuff, and it creates that beginning, middle, and end. And so if you try one of the experiments and say, I'm going to journal for 30 days or whatever it is, and you only need about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and decide when that's going to block is going to be. It could be in the morning, it could be in the afternoon. And journaling is incredibly versatile.
Does it have to be handwritten, or can you type it?
That's a great question. So from my research and stuff that I've found, that there is definitely a neural pathway that's connected when it's tactile like that with your hand. And I think there's like a lost art of that with everything being digital. So I journal by hand for sure.
I don't know if I'll get in trouble for this or not, but I peeked over your shoulder and I looked at your journal yesterday. And I had started to think about journaling prior to peeking over your shoulder. And once I peeked over your shoulder and I saw how elaborate your journal was with the cool pictures and everything,
yeah.
I literally said, forget it, I'm just not made for this because I can't even write well. Yours was awesome.
Thank you. So I wanted to be a cartoonist as a kid and a pro hockey player. So a pro hockey player, a cartoonist in the off season. But so that's actually been kind of something that's been cool is I've gotten back into drawing and illustrating in my journal. But at the same time, I have a couple buddies. One is amazing. And I look at his journal, I'm like, you know, if I actually compared myself to that, I'd be like, I suck. But you know, it's just like everything else. The more we compare, like I tell my kids this all the time. It's like the more we compare, the unhappier we are.
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing to get out of. Yeah. Sure. It's like what.
I mean, I looked at that page in your journal. And I thought, wow, you could publish your journal as a book. It was so cool looking.
Yeah. I have aspirations for that. That I'll commit to at some point. I'll definitely do a journal.
All right, so 33
book.
Burpees.
There you go. Yeah, 33 days, burpees.
And
yeah.
You're publishing your journal.
If I'm doing burpees, what are you doing? What's your challenge then?
I guess I got to meditate.
You can? Yeah.
Yeah, that
can
be one. I guess I'll meditate for 3.3 minutes. You get 33. you get 33 burpees.
How about journaling? You want to?
I'll journal.
Okay.
I'll journal for 30. I'll meditate while I journal. How's that?
Perfect. You're overachieving.
I gotta overachieve. I gotta beat you. This was awesome.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
So, Johnny, you nailed it.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, click, clip, clip, clip. Right.
Yeah.
Took a bunch of notes, but the one of the bigger notes, and the thing I've heard Joe say now a couple times as well is, for me, when he's talking about love and enthusiasm and helping people. But what would you do if you knew it would fail?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a deep question. So people always say, you know, do what you love, do you know, follow your passion, all those kinds of things. But I think when you flip it around and you say, what would you do even if you knew it wasn't going to succeed? That really is deep commitment,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's like, well, because, I mean, if you were going to get, as Bill Burr talks about, you know, if you're going to get in line and somebody said, well, you know, 50% of these parachutes aren't going to work. Or are you getting on that plane?
Yeah,
the answer
sure.
is no, right?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's doing that. Yeah. But entrepreneurs and people with passion that want to follow their dreams, they will get on.
Yep.
You know?
Seed conservationists, right? I mean,
that's exactly who I was thinking of.
One day you will understand. No, but it's, if you're trying to save all the seeds of the biodiversity of the earth, right? Ultimately, things will fail. Species will be lost, but the fact is the more that you go for it and the ones that you can save is helping to conserve and protect the biodiversity of the earth.
Yeah, and
so it's worth it.
And ultimately,
even if it's one seed.
Ultimately, it's worth it, and that's the key. I remember we were interviewing, his name escapes me right now, a really great recent interview, who said, and Joe said, you're really good at not making money.
Yeah, right.
Fantastic, right?
Right?
He went into business after business after business and didn't make money at the first three, four, five, and now he's worth $400 million.
That guy was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was gonna do it no matter what, right? And so it wasn't just about succeeding.
Right.
It was about what's the thing I'm passionate about. And ultimately the greatest success comes out of that passion. So
all success isn't always financial. So there's like the triple bottom line of things. Right.
Right. And that's great because Yannick mentions that as well, right? It basically, the greatest joy is helping others.
100%.
It's kind of what he says is, you know, the
give to live, live to
and
give.
Right, the 10x to the 100x by giving back, right?
And have you noticed that's a really common theme among our most interesting guests? They always somehow get to a point where they say, it's not even about me anymore.
Right.
This is about how I can contribute and how I can help others. That always impresses
well,
me.
Well, it shouldn't be about them ever. It's just
right, but I mean, it has been, at least for me, and this whole journey has been kind of eye-opening in that respect, is that We've been fortunate to meet a lot of successful people in
yep.
a lot of different walks of life. But it seems to me that the more successful people become, the happier they are to help or the
yep.
more willing they are to help other people. It's because I think they recognize the journey that others
yep.
are on, you know, that
and they have
somewhere,
affluence and means.
Right, and somewhere along the line, somebody gave them a helping hand, right?
Yep.
I mean, there's no one that got to where they're at by themselves.
Yep.
And they recognize that, right? Or they don't stay up at that level.
Yep.
You know, that's where the true greatness is.
The thing that I like is the humor that Yannick's bringing to it, right? So he has the Mavericks all come together, which is, you know, a collaboration of some of the greatest thought leaders and mm-hmm. wealthy people and change makers on the earth. And having worked for some of them and having, I realized that like a great joining factor is having a really hilarious sense of humor and like playing pranks on these people. And even in his bio on his website, you know, it's like his top moments is when he dressed up as a showgirl and surprised Sir Richard Branson. You know, I mean, it's just like, I think it's these people that have a sense of humor about it and really don't take these things that seriously that are making great change. I don't know if that was a poignant point, but I thought...
I'm smiling because I didn't know that story. I don't...
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, they have that. A good time. And I also like how he brings art into the conversation and his creativity in that way. Because he is a great artist. I've seen a couple of his doodles.
He puts them in his journals, right? And yeah. That was one of the things he talked about, one of his takeaways... was journaling.
Yeah.
And that people ought to sit down and try to do it every day. And then Joe asked him whether you should type or write. And he's definitely in the writing camp. But that may be because he's also drawing.
Sure.
You know?
Ideas in a visual form.
Well, he said it was probably better tactilely to go ahead and write. And as I heard that, I was wondering if it's better to write because you have to go slower.
Sure.
And you have to kind of think out unless you want to cross out
yeah.
or erase or, you know. And on a typewriter, you can write the same sentence six different ways in sure. the same amount of time.
Get it out of your
brain. So I think when you're writing longhand, maybe there's more deliberative thought
yep.
into the whole process.
He mentions Michael Singer, and Michael Singer has a book called The Untethered Soul. And the book starts with, have you ever noticed there's a voice in your head that never, ever, ever shuts up?
Yes.
And most of what it says...
Sometimes
no,
it
I
said
a voice inside your head. inside your head. No, but he says... and. Much of what it says is even helpful. And the idea about slowing down writing, you're having to pick a thought. So you're not just having that monkey brain going a million miles an hour. You're picking that thought you want to focus on. And when you're writing it down, it's the only thought. It can be the only thought because you have to write it down. And so I think there's huge, huge power in that. One other thing that he said...
every naturalist mentor ever says, find a sit spot, write in your journal.
Sure.
Right?
Cool.
So there's obviously somebody doing it.
Oh. All right. Well, then...
the other thing that he said that really resonated with me, and I think it'll resonate with viewers and listeners, is he said, for a long time, he wasn't given 100%.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people with capacity and capability, part of the handicap is they get away with not giving 100%. So I have a friend who didn't do super well in school. He wanted to be a doctor. He worked his ass off, didn't get there. Went back, upgraded, got into an okay school, worked really, really hard, finally got into med school. I promise you, he is a far better doctor than the guy who just coasted his way there on, you know, natural brains and whatnot, but didn't really have to pay attention. So you know, Yannick said, I was always giving less than 100%. I was doing okay. I mean, it was successful. But one day I woke up and said, why? Why not give 100%? Why not really dig in and use my full capacity? And I love that. So, you know, if you're somewhere in your life where you're wondering, there's got to be more than this, even if you've got some of the trappings of success, why not get up and say, I'm going to give 100% today?
Yeah.
That really resonated with me.
Well, yeah, no, it does. And it's always fascinating to me is how many people become successful at some level that aren't given 100%.
Absolutely.
I mean, again, just think what they could do, what they 100%, could achieve.
100%, yeah.
But, I mean, I'd fall into that category. I was a...
I think you give 110%.
No. I'm saying I was clearly a big-time underperformer, underachiever for a lot of my life. My guidance counselor wouldn't even allow me to put in the yearbook that I wanted to go to college.
Yeah.
I wasn't...
Let's be realistic here, Tim.
Right, exactly. I wasn't going, right?
Yeah.
And then I went, and then I quit, and, you know, a lot of things, you know. And since I've got two master's degrees. So, I mean, things can change, right?
100%,
so,
yeah.
No, but, I mean, the military forces you to get them.
Yeah, sure.
So you go along.
Well,
anyway, go ahead.
Yannick, I think he recently wrote a blog where he has this nice image of Ganesh, and he says that obstacles, look at the obstacles on your path as gifts.
Yeah, 100%.
Right.
Well, Frank Ferranti, another guest, he said something great when he said, there's 25 years of failure and falling on my face and struggling.
Is it content?
I was creating content.
Right.
Now I've got something to talk about. Speaking of content, go to spartan.com/podcast. We have a ton of content. Great guests week after week after week, which is why you need to subscribe on YouTube, on iTunes. It'll get pushed right to you. Push it to your friends. Thanks so much.
Be your own maverick.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Four Sigmatic. Join the Mushroom Coffee Revolution at foursigmatic.com/Spartan.